Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word rightly divided. We're going to be continuing today in our studies here in the book of 1 Thessalonians, and we are here in chapter number 4. And we've been studying here verse number 18, which says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." So we've been looking at issues related to the catching out of the saints, what's typically called the rapture of the church, and looking at how the Apostle Paul identifies the fact that what is being said should really be a comfort to individuals. And it's a comfort because we know the guarantee of the fact of what is going to happen for us today. And when we look at that issue of that idea of needing comfort, we know that the members of the body need that based on the fact of what has been promised to us. You know, we have not been promised any sort of physical blessings that we would see and have be part of who we are. In fact, what is said about what has been promised to us, if we go over to Ephesians chapter number 1, we see how the Apostle Paul speaks to this assembly at Ephesus as he's beginning the epistle to them, and he says here in verse number 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." So the blessings that have been given to us, the members of the body of Christ, are the spiritual blessings, and we've been given all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. That's why we know that the things that are spoken of us, speaking about the things of heaven, the promise of us ruling and reigning with Him in the heavenly places, we know that those are part of that spiritual blessings that's been given to us. And by knowing that, we know that it is a comfort. We also know, if we go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, and you see a passage in this chapter that the Apostle Paul is writing related to things of the resurrection, and explaining to the assembly in Corinth all of the truth related to the things of resurrection. And he gets into a discussion here starting in verse number 12 that says, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. If the Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." Now, as we see the Apostle Paul lay this out, we see how he's starting from the aspect of that there are individuals who were there in Corinth who, even though they had understood the things of the resurrection, that for some reason they were teaching that there was no resurrection. And as they're teaching this, and they're leading individuals either astray, or as they're teaching new individuals, They're not giving them the information that would be needed for salvation. That you see how Paul has to address this as he's speaking about this issue, and he's showing about how their faith would be vain if there was no resurrection. Then he brings up the reality of what was accomplished on the cross and the victory. And that's how he closes out this chapter when he starts speaking about the victory that we have over the law, sin, and death at the end of this chapter. But if there is no resurrection, the conclusion is that we would still be in the issue of sin because that victory would not be in place. And so that's what he's getting into with them and having to say that the end result of this would be that you would have to say that the only life that we have is the life we have currently. And the only thing that could be said about that is that we would be of all men most miserable if this is all that we had. And that's where individuals, unfortunately, the unsaved, a lot of them are in this condition because they don't think that there's anything else after they die. And you hear those type of statements that individuals will say them. They'll talk about how, you know, there's nothing after this life. And it doesn't take very long to be looking around at the things that are going on a day-to-day basis to really realize that if this is all that we have, that the only thing that could come about from it is misery, because there is really nothing good overall in this life, especially when we compare it with all of the glory that's going to be associated with us in the heavenly places. And that's why Paul is saying that when he's talking about this issue of the comfort, that he says that we are to comfort one another. Because what we've been talking about here, it really isn't a comfort to those who don't understand the saving message, because they don't even have an understanding of the hope that has been given unto us. So we know if we turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1 and we read the very first verse of the epistle, that we see the audience that this is written to when Paul says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's writing unto individuals that are part of this church, this local assembly, that he identifies that are in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's identifying the fact that who he is writing to are saved individuals who have put their trust in the gospel message for today. And let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 to see the gospel message that the Apostle Paul has given unto us, that multiple times in his epistles he identifies and calls it my gospel. We're going to read the first four verses of 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. It says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain? For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, as he begins this, we see how he says, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. So this is the gospel that as he's writing this in what we call 1 Corinthians, that as he's writing this and speaking to them, these individuals he's identifying as brethren, he says, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. So these individuals that he's writing to, they have heard this gospel. They have put their trust in this gospel message. And that gospel message, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. This is the only gospel which can provide salvation today. And this is the message that he's proclaiming. In fact, if we go back over to 1 Thessalonians into chapter number 4, where we've been studying here, you see how Paul has made a reference to this issue when he's speaking about those who are going to be part of this event in verse number 14, when it says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So he's identifying, as he's writing this epistle to the Thessalonians, about the fact of that this is what they've heard. He writes this in 1 Corinthians. So multiple times he's making a reference to what it is that they have believed. We will use that term. We'll talk about trust as a terminology that we use to speak about the gospel message. And we use that because we see how Paul, if we go over to Ephesians chapter number 1, and we read this glorious thing that the Apostle Paul writes here in Ephesians chapter number 1, and we're going to read here verses 13 and 14, which say, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now, we see that as he's talking about this seal, you see how Paul describes it, says, in whom he also trusted. So there's an issue of trust that he's talking about, the thing of that they heard the word of truth, in whom also after that ye believe. So there's a as they're hearing this message, there's a trust that's being put into it. There's a belief that occurs. And once these things happen, then you see how Paul says, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The very moment that a person believes this gospel, they're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The Spirit functions as the seal up until the point when verse 14 is going to say, when that seal is going to be broken, it says, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession. So until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back for us, we have that guarantee, we have that seal that's keeping us as the members of the body of Christ. And that's why you can see how Paul can write and talk about these events. If we go over to Philippians chapter number 1, and we see how Paul, as he's writing to this assembly at Philippi. He writes here in verse number 6, says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, he says that there's a good work that's been performed in us, and that there's a guarantee, as he says, because he says he's confident of this very thing, that the good work that's in us, that it will be performed, and then he gives again that until, which is the day of Jesus Christ. Now, we just read in Ephesians chapter number 1 that we are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise until the redemption occurs. Here in Ephesians chapter number 1, there's a good work that's performed in us until the day of Jesus Christ. Now let's skip down here to verse number 10, because we're going to see again the Apostle Paul is going to be making a reference to this when he says, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. So, another of these things of what's going to happen until, now he says, the day of Christ. So we have the day of Christ. We have the, until the day of Jesus Christ. We have in Ephesians chapter number 1 when it says, until the redemption of the purchased possession. So we're seeing how these different things, you know, a seal that's keeping us there, a good work that's being performed in us, and then what we read in verse 10, the issue of being sincere and without offense. Now, when you look at that idea of being sincere, that idea goes back to the things of when you would go into the marketplace and you'd be looking at pottery. And as pottery was being made, you know, in back in the time when these epistles are being written, that you would have, that they would be making it, and in the process of making a piece of pottery, it would either be 100% intact, or as they were making it, that something would happen, there would be a flaw that was introduced into it, a crack, and then because they didn't want to waste that piece of pottery, they would actually fill in that crack with some sort of a glue-like material, and they would paint over that to make it look like it was okay. But there was a requirement for them that all of the pieces of pottery that were 100% intact had to be labeled as sincere, and the ones that had the crack or the flaw in it would be not labeled in that manner. And there would be a test that if somebody was going to buy a piece of pottery that was labeled as sincere, that they would pick it up and they would hold it up to the sunlight and be looking at it, because if it was truly sincere without a flaw, they wouldn't see the light shining through that glue material. If there was a flaw, they would see that. They would know that it had been marked inappropriately. So you see how it's that you may be sincere, and it says without offense, and that we're kept without offense because the issue of sin, that transgression of the law, that cannot be put on our account. There can be no offense given to us because we have the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we have his righteousness. That's how we can be labeled as being without offense. That's where how we can be labeled as being sincere or without a flaw. And we're kept in those conditions again because the Spirit is functioning as that seal to keep us in that place. And all of these things happen until the catching out of the saints occurs, that day of redemption, the day of Jesus Christ, the day of Christ, that these passages are making a reference to. And this, all of what we've just said, how much of a comfort is this to hear and understand? When we see what Paul writes, let's go over to Titus chapter number 1. We see how Paul begins this epistle to Titus as he makes a reference to something that we have an understanding of when he says in Titus chapter 1 verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. So he's talking about that promise of eternal life that has been given unto us, and how we know that that's a reality, and because we know that that's a reality, again, it functions as a comfort for us. And that's why we know that it's true, because, you know, for example, Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. That we know that we have that guarantee of eternal life through him, through what he accomplished for us, and putting our trust in what he did gives us that eternal life, gives us those conditions of what we just read over in the book of Philippians, that allows for us to be sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, to be kept in that position. And again, this is a comfort. When we talk with individuals and you see that when they don't have an understanding of these things, how they lack that comfort, and when you ask them questions about, you know, do they know that they would go to heaven if they died today, do they know they have that guarantee, and you see and you hear the things that are said in response, and it becomes very clear that they don't understand this, that they don't have that level of comfort that the Word of God is supposed to provide for them. You see how, you know, really in a way, lost in their life they actually are, because they're looking at things of how they have to keep trying to maintain themselves in that position, a position that there's no way that they could actually ever achieve or maintain without the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ being applied to their account. And again, this is why Paul talks about this being a comfort that's being given unto individuals, and why it is that we should be making sure that we are going out and sharing this message with others, so that way they can have this same level of comfort that the Word of God actually provides. And that's where we're going to pick up next week, looking at that issue of when Paul says comfort with these words, why it is that the Word of God is what provides comfort for us today. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have some charts to help you in your study of God's Word. We have information how to join our Sunday service and Wednesday night Bible study live as they're being broadcast on Facebook. And if you happen to be in the Buffalo area, we'd love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. as we meet at 83 Anderson Road in Cheektowaga, New York. And as we close, I always like to remind everyone, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.